The gospel reading today from the 20th chapter of John's gospel is especially suited for this second Sunday in the season of Easter because it says a week later, after Jesus' first appearance to his disciples, that he came a second time when Thomas was with them. We're not told where Thomas was the first time, maybe hiding out someplace. We know that most of the disciples ran away when Jesus went to the cross. They were scared, and then they stayed behind locked doors. Last Sunday, we read the Easter story as told by Luke. How did the women react when they found the tomb empty? They were perplexed. And then terrified when the angels told them that Jesus was alive. And how did the disciples respond to what the women told them later in the day? They thought that they were hearing an idle tale from the women. And when Jesus appeared later in the day to the disciples, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And then Luke says that in their joy, they were disbelieving. They probably laughed about it. What is humor, really? What makes us laugh? Isn't it the element of surprise, the unexpected happens, seeing the tables turned, having a surprising outcome? Hearing something that could hardly be true, we laugh. Some of the early church theologians said that God played the ultimate April Fool trick on the devil by raising Jesus from the dead. Or a prominent Christian theologian in the last century by the name of Eugen Moltmann wrote, "Easter laughter is rooted in the holy and totally surprising reversal of all things. God had brought this reversal about by raising Christ. The expectation was for cosmic death, but what comes is eternal life. Praying and laughing seem to be far apart in our culture, but here they come together." Our call to worship this morning from Psalm 126. The poet reminds us that when God's people lived as captives in exile in Babylon, and when they were brought back to Zion, to their home, it was like a dream. It was too good to be true. And then it says, they laughed and sang. Jesus recognized in his teachings the hardships and sorrows of this life. But his main message was the grace and goodness of God. He promised, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." It is not death that has the last laugh, but it is God who makes all things new. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Psalm 3 tells us that God has a sense of humor. When God sees us making excuses for our bad behavior, he doesn't always get angry with us, but he sits in heaven and laughs. We often refer to the disciple Thomas as a doubter, and I think that's a bit unfair because, like everyone else, Thomas actually wanted to see and touch the risen Christ before he would believe, like many of the others. But the gospel writer also reminds us that there is another way to come to believe without without actually seeing or without seeing Jesus or touching his body. And obviously we come to faith in this second way. Oh, we have the testimony of those who did see him and hear him and touch him. And we have the spiritual vision that the Holy Spirit gives to us. But we don't have this benefit of actually seeing or touching Jesus. And our laughter of doubt can be turned into the joy and laughter of belief if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. There are a lot of things in life that we believe that we have never seen. Have you ever seen electricity? Well, we see what electricity does, but and germs, how many germs have you seen that make you sick? How many of us understand really how our cell phones work or our computers? Still, we use them without understanding or seeing. The story is told of a reporter who was interviewing the wife of Albert Einstein, the famous scientist. She was asked whether she understood the theory of relativity. And she replied, "Oh no, but I trust Albert." There are a lot of things in life that we trust are true. How did we get here? How was life created? We believe that God created us. God put us here. We just believe it to be true. So if we believe that God created the world, created us, created life, is it so far-fetched to believe that God could raise Jesus from the dead? That God can raise us up from death to life? Now, for sure, sometimes it takes us a while to believe. But let's not be too hard on the disciple Thomas. I suspect there is a bit of a doubting Thomas in all of us. Someone suggested that some Sunday we give everyone who comes to church a polygraph test to see who really believes the words of the hymn, "Christ the Lord is risen today," or who is really telling the truth when they confess in the creed, "The third day he rose from the dead." Throughout Scripture, there are examples of people who wavered between doubt and belief. And who of us cannot identify with the father who runs frantically to Jesus, begging him to come and heal his daughter who is sick and who is dying? And Jesus says to him, "All things are possible for those who believe." And what does the father say? "Yes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." No one seems to have 100% faith. Or do you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah in the early days of the Old Testament? They were known for their great faith in God. God had promised that their descendants would become a great nation, but they were getting old and had passed their childbearing years. But then one day when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 99, God said, "Now is the time for you to have a child." What was their reaction? They laughed. Holy humor. It is a gift from God. It helps us admit our doubt and encourage our faith. It shows the tension between our fear and our joy. Sometimes we have to laugh when we try to understand the ways of God. Can we trust God? There's a story told about an elderly couple. Edward, the husband, was becoming weak and realized that he was nearing the end of his life. He had seen much suffering during his lifetime, as did his wife, Elizabeth, who was also very old. She was sitting on the side of Edward's bed, wiping his brow. They had been together for 70 years. "Tell me, Elizabeth," he said, "do you remember the horrible situation in the old country and the struggle to come to America?" "Of course I remember," she said. "I was with you all through that. And do you remember how we started out with nothing? We didn't know where our next meal was coming from?" Elizabeth replied, "Of course, my love, I was with you." Edward went on, "And then the depression came and I lost my job and again we had nothing. Were you with me, Elizabeth?" "Of course, my love, I've always been with you." Edward was quiet for a moment and he closed his eyes. And when he opened them again, he looked at his wife, Elizabeth, and said, "Elizabeth, I think you were bad luck." How do we understand both what we go through in life and believe what God is good? Maybe a little humor helps sometimes. We don't always understand. We aren't altogether sure. But if we trust that God brought us into this world, we can also trust God to take us out of the world into a new life of peace and joy. Frederick Buechner, a prominent contemporary theologian and seminary professor, wrote this. He said, "In the past, when my faith was strong, I always trusted God, more or less. I trusted him with my life, which is to say, I trusted him, but with the presupposition that I would always be around to cajole with him, plead with him, and in general, remind him to be the God of mercy and love I always trusted him to be. The change is that now I begin at least to trust him with my death. We become something new by ceasing to be something old." If we trust God, who brought us into this life, can we also not trust God to take us out of this life? I have one more story. There was a man who was very upset when one morning he found his obituary published in the local newspaper. He stormed into the newspaper office and said, "How dare you print my obituary in the paper? Can't you see that I'm very much alive?" Well, the editor was terribly embarrassed, and he was very apologetic about the mistake that the newspaper had made. But, of course, it was too late to remove the article that was already published. And then the editor said, "I can do one thing for you. In the next edition, I'll put your name in the births column and give you a new start." Believing in the risen Christ means that we do indeed claim a new life. Sometimes it seems laughable and implausible, but the same power that created the world and raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that comes into our lives and changes us forever. So don't be afraid to laugh. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.